Hi friends, I am Professor Ashish Hathi, who is going to take you through this video presentation on this interesting subject of rural marketing. I am into the industry. I am a working professional with almost 35 years of experience spanning into various aspects of marketing, cutting across B2B. Almost 50% of my experience is into B2B industry, and rest 50% is into the service industry. B2C also accounts reasonably good exposure that I have. I have been mostly into the various facets of handling marketing, and thus including rural marketing, which is of a subject of interest personally also for me. I'll be taking you through this entire syllabus over a period of time, and I hope that you will really enjoy listening to my few points and sessions. And if there are any queries, feel free to connect. So let's start with chapter one today, which is what is this yaane, on rural marketing that we start with. So of course, essentially you must understand what is rural marketing. So I am going to take you through and giving you the understanding about the rural market in India and how the landscape is changing. Before I get into it, I'll tell you my story itself. Like when I was a teenage, I was enjoying a privilege of showing off. Showing off, when I say showing off, in my village. When I used to go to my village every 2-3 years, I often used to make it a point that what I can carry, which they will not have. So things like goggles, things like good pen, things like good trousers or jeans and all, which was making inroad in India. So those kind of things I used to carry specifically to my village, and then I tend to show them off. Why? Because I have often noticed that like what I possess here in metro, they do not have. Now that was a difference. Then when I go after a few 2-3 years again, I realize that there might be some inroads of some material, like maybe the good goggles have started coming into village, maybe some other aspects. So I often strive to find out which are the items that would not have reached my village, and therefore you carry them. Now, today, is it viable? Today, do you think that is happening? So my answer to all of you is no. Today, brands are launched across India, including semi-urban and rural India. So like today, if I tend to think that I will carry Ray-Ban, I might meet my village counterpart who will also show me Ray-Ban. Or I might walk on the streets of my village and I will see the shop of a shop selling Ray-Ban or say Lee Cooper jeans, etc. There are made-to-order Raymond outlets I often see there now. So this is a change. This is what we all will have to understand over a period of our few lectures, so that you understand the significance of rural marketing and why every company is putting all out efforts to capture this rural market. And believe me friends, this is happening last so many years, and still we consider that we have not really taken full potential of our rural India. So with this perspective in mind, let's begin understanding rural India. So I will start with giving you certain information which will help you to capture overall landscape of rural India. There is a census done. As you know, census happens every 10 years. So the last census which happened in 2011, which defines what is urban. So using the scale of what is defined and what is not defined is considered as rural. So they have defined what is urban. They have not really defined what is rural. So defining urban, these are the few aspects which they have tried telling you. Okay, this is what they define urban as. So minimum population of say 5,000, at least 75% of the male do not work in agrarian economy or non-agricultural pursuits. That is what they say. Density of population at least 400 people per square kilometer. That density means how many people are there within that area. So that is what is they have defined as a density of people, population at least 400 people. So this aspect is defined as what is urban. So minimum population is given as one criteria, which is 5,000. At least 70% of the male working population are in the non-agriculture. So they are earning their income out of non-agricultural aspects and density. Now, if this criteria are met, the area is known as the urban area. If this criteria is not met, then the area is classified as rural area. So this is a very fluid definition, if you can say, of what is known as a rural areas. There are various towns and there are various places which are very easily accessible. So, are they really rural? We'll have a question. So, we'll, as we move forward, we will try to understand what is the significance of a definition and how probably you can tweak your understanding and the definition of the rural India. So, having done the primary scratch to understand what is urban, and if that is not the criteria that is met, the area is defined as rural, we move forward to really understand what is rural India. So, again, Census of India, as I have earlier said, defines it with overall perspective in mind about the India. It has its own limitations. So, some of the limitations, let's understand. India has more than 20,000 villages with population less than 5 to 10,000. Now, they define themselves that India has so many villages where the population is 5 to 10,000. Now, earlier as you have said, 5,000 and above is urban area. So, whether the census representing this aspect is right or wrong. So, why are they considered as rural? So, that is one question. So, that is one of the limitations. Any population cutoff should include this. So, actually, this should have gone into being defined as a urban area. But urban area versus rural area, there are certain other aspects. So, as we move forward, you will capture that. Many villages are now called towns because their economic growth in last 2 to 3 decades has been significant. Some areas, some hubs, which is away from the city, are now also classified not as a village but a town, because you have seen that economic growth. There is an all-round development that has taken place in that area, and therefore it is a self-living, self-sustained economy, local economy. Therefore, it becomes a kind of a classified town. And it may not be definition-wise a town, but people start representing, start looking at it as a town. Most companies in the FMCG sector, therefore, now you are into marketing. We are studying what is rural marketing. So, marketeer has to define where they want to go. So, most of the fast-moving consumer goods, that is FMCG, FMCG includes all household goods, which are of daily consumption, and therefore, their usage is very rapid, and you have to have a repurchase cycle established for your household. So, therefore, they are known as a fast-moving consumer goods. They have defined the Indian village as anything which is 20,000 or less. So, that's what they define it as a village. So, most companies in FMCG define rural as any place which is a population less than 20,000. So, I am trying to give you a perspective that we as a marketeer should classify what is right for our nature of product to be called as a village. Each one, you have a data available through census. Now, you can plot your line. Some companies may put it as 15,000, some companies may put it at 25,000. Choice is there, provided it helps you to decide go-to-market approach and the strategy. So, that's the significance of knowing what are the criteria on which a place is classified as urban and rural. That's it. Please understand these aspects very well, as so that we understand as to how we move forward and define our market. Size and potential of the rural market. So, now having understood what is rural market, what area is defined as rural market, we want to understand what is a today's size. You all should, as a student or a prospective people who will venture into rural marketing, should understand what is the market size today. So, let's understand basic aspects. There are 650,000 villages in India. These are classified villages. There are 650,000 villages. So, India lives in village, as they say, which is true. This makes for about almost 70% of the total population of India. So, almost 2/3 of India's population is residing in rural area. So, we represent only 1/3 aspects. We call ourselves urbanite. We are just 1/3 of total India's population. Earlier, rural India was isolated. Isolated in the sense, the access to rural India was very difficult. They were like bridges, they were like poor road conditions, they were not much of a vehicular traffic going towards that side, etc. All those constraints, primitive technology, bullock carts, tractors, how far can they go? With all that, they were like kind of isolated. So, that is what we are trying to say. So, that population of almost about 850 million did not seem to be spending. So, urbanite or the marketeers of those brands also felt that there is no market there. So that was the first wrong assumption that probably the marketeers have made ages back, which is not true now. However, this is now changing. Access has become possible. As we move forward, I'll try and share with you the Pradhan Mantri Gram Sadak Yojana. How much is, you know, the India has penetrated in terms of the road infrastructure and all. Today, as I understand, the speed of road construction in those areas have gone up to almost 133 kilometer vis-a-vis 5 years back, which was just merely something like 40 kilometers a day. So today, road construction speed is almost 133 kilometer a day. So we are soon going to network with most of the village. So that is what is the power that is coming in. So the access is getting established. Access to reach rural market is getting established. And now let's understand what is that, Yana. So now you have to know that what is you are going to get. So 2/3 of the rural India access is going to be possible. Today it accounts for 56% of India's total income. Total income that Indians earn, 56% of them is in rural India. 64% of the expenditure take place in rural India. And 33% of the saving is there, Yana. So money is there. Expenditure potential is there, income is there, and now access is there. Access is soon going to be there. So you understand the potential of what you call rural market. So that is what our effort was, to understand the size and potential of Indian rural market. So now let's get into understanding the broad size of the market. What is defined as the GDP? So that GDP is the growth and a total goods and total per capita GDP, as we say, is the indicator of how much of value that India makes it. In that, the growth is noticed is at the rate of 6.2% since 2000. Now, what you need to know is the rural India is growing at a faster speed than the urban India. So, this GDP growth in rural India is faster than the urban India, the first important point. The FMCG sector in rural India and the semi-urban India is expected to cross 20 billion mark. Now friends, this is of course the census based report, but let me tell you, we have already crossed this. The one estimate which is currently floating in the market is that India has achieved close to 35 to 40 billion market in the rural India. And India is soon going to cross 100 billion by 25. This is 100 billion USD rural market potential by 2025. Possible. Now, if I in 2000, almost 18-19, if I established something like 35-40 billion USD, it is looking feasible to me. Probably I may even exceed this target. So this is the size, another size of this rural market. This is as per the survey that AC Nielsen did for some of the FMCG company. At present, rural income constitutes 56% of the total income, and it is growing at 5.6%, and urban income is only growing at 5.4%. Earlier, in earlier slide, we have read that 56% of the income is generated in rural India. That growth is 5.6% per annum, vis-a-vis urban income growth is only 5.4%. So, you have an excess, you have an income, large income is coming there, you have a good expenditure potential, and now what indicates to you that is growing also faster than the urban India. So there are various parameters that compels you to look at what you call rural India, rural market. This is a graphical representative, representative, very interesting. In 2009, we were just $9 billion rural market, projected to be $100 billion market of rural India. 2016, we have achieved almost 29. So again, if I go back the 20 billion USD estimate, we have already crossed. What market is discussing is that have we touched 35 or 40 billion USD in 2018-19. Figure may soon get finalized, but we are somewhere there. So you understand how India rural market is growing. This is of course the outcome of a survey by AC Nielsen for Dabur India, etc. It's probably a syndicated report. So having understood the potential or the potential size of the Indian rural market, let's understand what all other constituents of the size of the rural market. Nearly 14,000 crore was investment in the development of the rural sector during the 7th 5-year plan. Friends, I think now the plan perspective has been now dropped out by the Modi government. They have moved into what you call Niti Aayog. So it is a planning commission. There is no more like, you know, 5-year plan that we used to get. Now actual planning has to happen for various achievements. A good move, but right now we are not here to debate that. But this gives you an idea that how much investment it is going towards rural India development. This led to the increase in the rural disposable income. I will shock you with this figure. In last year, 2018-19, 43,000 crores under MNREGA scheme, that is a rural employment scheme, have been spent. That means 43,000 crores have been moved, and that income has reached the rural earning members. So under this Mahatma Gandhi Rozgar Yojana, so you can understand where is this 14,000, which was a 5-year plan versus in 1 year, so much have been reached to the rural population. So this is showing the explosive growth that rural market is on the threshold of it. So that is what one we all need to understand. The relative low cost of living, and the cost of living we all know in rural India is comparatively very low, vis-a-vis the income may be low, but what they arrive is the savings that they get. Therefore, the disposable income, this thing is far better. Today, most of the urbanite teens, etc., you see, you will often find them being hearing that we are hand to mouth kind of thing, which is not the case probably with the rural India as of now. They still believe in unspend what you can spend, therefore maintain savings. So that's the overall mindset with which they are spending their money. But yes, their disposable income has grown. So that is a point to be noted. And economic is NCR reveals like the 33 million households in rural India with a monthly income of almost 9,000 rupees. And interestingly, there are only 25 million urban households with that. Let's not get into subjective discussion pertaining to this figure per se. Essence is to know that rural India has a potential to spend with a higher disposable income, and therefore rural market is an attractive proposition. So far, whatever that we have understood, what is urban India? So what is rural India? Having understood what is rural India, we have tried understanding the size of it and overall the potential that it offers, with the accessibility improving, the higher household income, almost 56% of the income gets generated in rural India, the spend, the saving also, etc. It's a very potential growth area for any marketeer to go to. So that is the overall gist of my few slides that we have so far studied. Yes, there are certain things that we have in our mind, especially the urbanites have certain aspects that they know or they think about rural India. Probably this is what even foreigners look at our India, rural India, in this manner. These are some of the myths that need to be broken so that your mind become open, and subsequently as we study more, you will be able to accept certain aspects. And the first myth in rural India is very homogeneous market. So first, let's define what is homogeneous. It's like a very, very identical, similar nature of market. This myth is really, this aspect is really a myth. These are the few points that we have tried putting up for you so that you understand. If anything, in a relative sense, rural India is more heterogeneous than the urban India. So rural India also, there are various castes, various religions who stay there. As a result, they imbibe what is peculiar to them. So therefore, right, their style of living, the cloth that they wear, the likings that they have, their preference for spending, preference towards cloth, preference towards food, preference towards entertainment, etc., are different. And as a result, the market is heterogeneous. Earlier, people used to see that rural area is just one, you know, market. Everything is same for them, which is what not the case. There are over 650,000 villages in India, I have already told you. Of course, each have a different flavor. You go to one village, then you go to the different village, you will see a difference. One need to really explore this. So what we are trying to again establish, that rural market is not a homogeneous market, it's a heterogeneous market. Even within the same tehsil, village or taluka, in terms of income, education, facilities, healthcare, you see a difference. And that is what one need to really note. This difference speaks about heterogeneity in the market. Heterogeneity offers good opportunity to market yes. One need to really understand. Therefore, you are able to segment different nature of customers. You are able to propose specific nature of products to them, etc. So that is the beauty of rural India. It is no more a homogeneous market. It is a heterogeneous market. Unfortunately, because the caste system is still prevails in India, even the villages, there are differences. Because the caste system is still prevalent in India, even within the village, there are differences. So India is a strong caste-driven cultural country. Caste itself brings a differentiation. So what the point we are trying to do and tell you is that the market is really heterogeneous. Every caste has a peculiar need. Their preferences are different than the other caste, etc. That itself makes the market heterogeneous. Heterogeneity helps you to really classify, make the segment, target your market as we do probably for even urban market. That is also a possibility in rural market. And that is what the first myth that needs to be really broken is that rural India is homogeneous. So myth has to be broken and one need to accept that rural India is a heterogeneous market. Means market with different flavors, tastes, different likes, dislikes, different choices. As a result, there is a potential for various nature of products to be present and sold in rural India also. The myth too, the rural consumer is a simpleton. Bahut simple hote hai. So that is what the over average belief was. Till really marketeers have looked them very closely and realized that this is one of the another myth that needs to be broken. A rural Indian is presumed to be a dhoti clad, poverty stricken, uneducated old man who has no disposable income. Oftentimes, that rural communication tends to be dumbed down and stereotypical. This is a typical mindset that we have about our rural India, which is not the case. What it tries to tell you are often much smarter than the urban counterpart because his or her money is limited. The limited money makes them choose the right product. Believe me, friends, couple of fortnight back, I was into a trekking. I have gone to the interiors of India. And during my this journey, I have realized that these guys are much smarter. They spend using a proper choices. They too have a sophisticated Reebok shoes. They too had a very warm cladding, warm clothes, etc. Yes, the difference was like I was probably having the branded costly one, equally good clothes that they were using, which were probably much cheaper. Not that they do not prefer brand. They also then asked me, "Bhai, from where have you got this, your Puma shoes?" So means I say, "I took it from here and costed me so much." And then he reveals me that he bought this from where. So we will study this as we go ahead. Because there are those branded, hearts which happen. There are ways the marketers try to lure them. And that is what gives them the choice. And this choice they exercise very well. They share the same aspirations as their urban counterpart. Because today they see the TV shows and films and all simultaneously getting released across country. Otherwise, I used to like see that what Amitabh Bachchan was wearing first. So I will get into bell bottom first. Vis-a-vis my rural counterpart, that is, I am talking about say late 70s, that is my teen years, which is not the case now, because even at that point of time, the film used to roll out gradually towards rural market. After they complete the stint in urban areas, they gradually used to move out to the rural areas. Now, simultaneous release, satellite telecast, what all is making it possible? So, films are getting released simultaneously across India. As a result, my even rural counterpart sees what the current hero has wore, what the current heroine has worn. And therefore, they also want to get on to it as soon as possible. As a result, the brand proliferation is also simultaneously happening. They may have less disposable income, may sometimes have not the opportunity to benefit from the formal education, but they are not simpleton. What we are trying to say, for such kind of things, for choices of daily need, for choices of living, you really don't need education. It is a look, it is what you see, what you believe, what you aspire and what you can have it makes all the difference. So, rural consumers are no more a simpleton. That is what is the second myth that we all need to break. Yani. They can make their choices wisely and they have their own aspirations. That is what we need to understand. The third myth is traditional influencers solely determine and drive village actions. When I was not exposed to say rural India or when I was not understanding why this difference that is happening, you know, vis-a-vis my getting a formal education or formal understanding, vis-a-vis my visits to rural India, etc. What came out is like earlier, it was reality which is no more a reality. Earlier, various things used to move into the village only through certain set families and their, you know, their choices determine the what village is going to choose. So, thakurs, sarpanch, etc., jamindar, they used to accept certain change in their lifestyle. They used to introduce certain new products for them. That choice was then getting proliferated down the line. The village people will also notice, then they will aspire, which is no more a case nowadays because exposure is simultaneous. They all get exposed to various mediums about what is new, what is coming in. So, what is suitable to them? Does it satisfy their need? With that, it is no more a state where only Jamindar can determine that I will have this vehicle or I will have this shampoo for me or I will have this kind of a branded shirts, t-shirts for me, etc. Maybe there are others in the village who will simultaneously acquire it. The average village makes up his or her mind. Yani. So, what has been said is, when the Thakurs and Mukhiyas or Jamindar era was there, that averageization used to happen. So, people will look at each other and what is getting absorbed, then the next level will start thinking of absorbing, which is again not the case. The village Dakia, postman or the headmaster or the sarpanch and many others do have other influences. Yani. So, they are all respectable slots. When they bring change or when they imbibe certain product or use certain products, the others used to follow, which is no more a case. But so does the young guys who make a big city. The young guys of the rural India today have much better exposure. Their visits to city are frequent. As a result, they absorb things even faster than the conventional mukhiyas and thakurs of the village. Yani. They bring a lot of new things to the village and as a result, proliferation of various product usage and brands in village are much faster than what used to be earlier. Therefore, the myth 3 that this was a market which only got governed by the Thakur, Sarpanj and Mukhiyas of the village is no more true. Young people of rural India with a better exposure, they bring in lot of new usage to the village and therefore the village market, that is the rural market, is equally exposed to the new products and services and they are ready to absorb. So, that is another learning that we must have. So, what we are trying to tell you, this is not to say that there is no exploitation or that there is no influence. Yani, what we are trying to tell you is that these influences are decreasing and there are other aspects which are now started dominating, which I told you is basically the exposure that the rural population has. Exposure-led brand, product, service proliferations are happening and as a result, absorption in the daily life of a common man is much faster and it is now no more governed by few influential individuals of the village. It is now a young people who are driving the change. That is what we need to really understand.